You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Places, everyone, places!
Hello, everyone. Oh, my God. What just happened there? Did you hear that? The reverb in the mic? Anybody?
No, I didn't.
All right, I'll pretend I didn't either. Welcome back, you guys. Kathy is in the Kathy DeBono Show. I'm here with my fiance, Jill.
Hello.
A little bit later this hour, we're going to have a good friend of ours, Rob Thalusma. He has a very smooth and creamy voice. You don't want to miss him. He will be here. He was one of our actors in We Have to Stop Now. And he's got a new venture that he's doing with incarcerated kids, I think is really cool. So we invited him to come on and talk about it. And first, we wanted to open with just, you know, it was a big Oscar weekend. You know, everybody had their parties and their appetizers and their beer and their champagne, and depending on, you know, what part of the world you were in and where you were watching. And then there was Meryl Streep winning the Oscar for Best Actress and a lot of chitter chatter about that. It's a really interesting chitter chatter because Meryl Streep, I mean, what better actor is there on the planet? None, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So Meryl wins the Oscar. Everybody's very excited. However, then there's Viola Davis. And for those of us who saw The Help, we know that she pretty much earned herself an Oscar, too. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing performance.
The best performance this year, in my opinion. And SAG thought so, and the Golden Globes thought so.
And I didn't see Glenn Close's movie.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, she...
To be fair, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I mean, Glenn Close is probably one of the other, you know, most iconic best actors in the world.
I mean, everybody that was nominated... In fact, Meryl said after she won that she feels like the category should be extended like the Best Picture, and there should be more nominees.
I think that's fair. I think there should... I mean, definitely for genres, there should be Best Drama, Best Comedy. I mean, how do you take a movie like Bridesmaids and then put it up against a movie like Iron Lady?
Or The Artist.
Or even The Help, for that matter, and say, okay, which one of these was the best? They're all completely different.
Yeah, I think comedy should have its own category, and I think there should be... Instead of putting all the best actress in one, it should be best comedic actress, performance, best dramatic. Because being funny, in my opinion, is more difficult.
Much harder.
Than being... dramatic.
It requires much more, I don't want to say skill, but I think it requires different sensors.
A different skill set,
a different way of listening and a different way of responding to your environment than when you're doing straight up drama.
Yeah.
And it definitely requires like a sixth sense to be able to feel that timing and be good at that timing.
I agree.
I don't think people who aren't actors really know that, because you just think, oh, comedy, light, easy, whatever. And they look at the dramas and the people crying and they think, wow, they're so talented. And they are. And that's hard to do, too. But it's really difficult to get the timing right in comedy.
Yeah, that's why Melissa McCarthy was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Bridesmaids.
Yeah, okay. And she won. If anybody didn't see Bridesmaids, do yourself a favor and rent it.
It was really funny.
Buy it. I mean, it was a good time.
Original screenplay.
It is a good freaking time.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to Viola.
All right.
Okay. So the
I love me some Viola.
The awards happened and we had a pool, and I think I got 20 out of 25 correct. I guessed correct on all of them.
And honestly, really haven't seen what it's like to have a competitive partner until you've been in a living room watching some sort of event where your girlfriend is in the pool. And if your girlfriend happens to be Jill Bennett, you will see what it's like to have a competitive girlfriend. There's cheering, there's bottle throwing across the room, there's screaming.
Look, I didn't throw a bottle until... We get to one of the final categories.
I'm wearing a helmet at our next event.
The evening has gone just as planned, and everyone thought was going to win won. And then we get to Best Actress. And again, Meryl is up because she deserves to be. She's had 17 nominations. She is, I believe, the greatest living actor or actress.
Amen.
For film of our generation, like hands down.
Amen.
There's no question.
Right.
But... this time, I think they gave it to the wrong person.
Now, why would you say that? Because here's I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. I know where you stand on this. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily disagree with your suspicions or your pontifications.
My suspicions.
Well, that's all they are at this point, right? They're pontifications.
I haven't even gotten to why, though. Like,
okay, but let me just put out there that I'm going to play devil's advocate with you right
before
now.
Before I even say why.
Well, now you can say why.
Okay, let me tell you why.
Go for it.
Okay. So, a few weeks back, they released the breakdown...
When I was a little girl.
No. Just give me a second.
All right, go ahead.
They released the breakdown of what the Academy is comprised of. And let me tell you, the Academy voters are 94% white. 94%.
Surprise, surprise.
77%
male. Surprise, surprise.
And 86% over the age of 50.
Oh, so it's wait, so you're telling me it is governed by old white men? That's
yeah.
So shocking.
No, I know it's shocking, but let me tell you why I believe. Now, when I say the Oscars are racist, what I mean by that is, do I think it's like full entrenched racism in the way that some people think of it? No, but what I think is that these men cannot identify with a poor black woman the way
racist blindness.
Right. The way that I can identify with a rich, powerful white woman. So they look at these performances, they can't identify with Viola Davis's character. They can identify with Margaret Thatcher. She's a powerful, educated woman of their class. They get that. And I believe the reason why SAG and Golden Globes went to Viola is because that's a more diverse audience.
Okay. And you may very well be correct. Something governed by old white men not being racist would surprise me, even unconsciously. Like, as
yeah,
I think you're
saying,
pointing out that they're probably unconsciously racist.
Yes, I believe it's an unconscious thing.
This would be a much stronger argument on that side of the fence if it weren't Meryl Streep who won, because there is an actress that walked away with that Oscar that night that completely 100% deserved it. And that's not to say because the other actors weren't as good. It's to just say because she was that good. And I mean, Meryl Streep got up and accepted her award, and she was like, I can just hear half of America sighing and going,
her
again.
Because half of America did sigh, because everyone was rooting for Viola Davis to win.
Okay, and they were, but can you imagine? And I was too. I would have loved to have seen Viola get it. I think someday she will. She's astonishingly talented. But
yeah, but you know what?
Yeah, but Meryl Streep, okay, 17 nominations. She's only won it 3 times. But 17 nominations,
only,
the body of work that she's done.
I believe she's now tied for the most Oscar wins of any actor ever living. So she's, my point is, Meryl Streep is going to be offered the best roles every single year, that she does one movie a year and she is offered the best roles. Viola Davis, as an African-American woman, is not going to be offered the same types of roles as Meryl Streep.
True.
So I'm kind of like, really, guys? Really? She should have won, and I stick by that. I just feel like the people who voted on this performance could not identify with this character.
Maybe
so
you're
they,
right.
They voted with what they were more. I mean, in 1985, The Color Purple was the most nominated film that never won anything. It was nominated for 11 awards, did not win anything.
It should have won a bunch
of
things.
Ridiculous. Whoopi Goldberg should have won. Oprah Winfrey should have won. Danny Glover should have won. It should have been Best Picture. I mean, ridiculous. And it was like,
I don't remember what did win that year, but that to me is where you can find her. And again, I am only playing devil's advocate because I do think there's a lot to this, but that those are the kinds of things that this argument falls flat when we're talking about, yeah, but Meryl Streep won. That's
yes,
all they
I
have
know.
To throw back at your face, because she was incredible. I mean, you and I watched Iron Lady, and that's one of those films that I feel like I would watch again just to take in that performance.
Right.
That's pretty incredible.
No. I totally agree. And Meryl is deserving, but she's deserving, frankly, of an Oscar every time she's nominated, just because she's Meryl Streep.
Right.
And she's amazing.
Can you imagine what it's like to be Meryl Streep, to build that body of work, to be that freaking good, and to reach to such a level of phenomenal skill in what you do that people are just bored by it now? People are just like, oh, okay, that's
no,
Meryl Streep. She's going to be incredible.
No, every performance is amazing. I'm just saying she's always going to get these opportunities, and I just was bummed to see it go. I just felt like Viola, that she was robbed. She was robbed.
She was robbed. That was a great role. We have to go to break right now. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Hey, don't touch that browser. Kathy will be right back.
Kathy is in.
and she's ready to see you now.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
Welcome back. We want to welcome into the studio a dear friend of ours and a really good actor, I might add.
Yes.
He was with us in our first season of We Have to Stop Now. His name is Rob Thalusma. Say hello, Rob.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much.
Listen to that delicious voice.
Deep.
Isn't
deep.
It wonderful?
Yes.
I wonder if I had money to pay you to just be here to just every once in a while go like this. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That's a little porny.
Well, no. I mean, I'm thinking I say something brilliant and then we have Rob off to the side go, yeah. Just punctuate it for me.
That's pretty much most of my conversation goes anyway. I go, yeah. All
right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So when we heard about Rob's new, God, this mic is...
I know, it
vibrating.
It sounds weird today.
When we heard about Rob's new venture, Affirmative Athletics, we wanted to have him on the show to talk about it. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I used to work with incarcerated kids up at Camp David Gonzalez in Malibu, which I think is closed now.
Yeah. How did this not... Yeah, I did not
He's
know
shocked.
No, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, when I was doing my grad work, we had to do a lot of trainings and internships, and I was an intern up there. So there was a program called the Garden Project, and we would take those kids outside and plant things and dig things and build little bridges and water ravines, you know, through the property. And we would just hang out and sort of do therapy through the relationships we were building there. Right. And these were kids like between 12 and 18. So these are the same kids you're working with,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. 13. Yeah, mines are usually about 13, 14.
So tell me about your program, Affirmative Athletics.
Well, it's been a heck of a journey. I started in 05. I was working for a nonprofit already teaching these young cats in probation camps how to express themselves through poetry.
Yeah.
I'm a big writer in many different ways. And long short end of it, honestly, I just got bored one day. I'm a huge sports enthusiast. Football is my...
Giants.
Yes. New York football Giants, everyone. All day, every day. But coming back to it.
Since you won the Super Bowl, we'll let you have the moment.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Eli number one. I've just really felt with all the work I was doing, I wanted to do more, and football season had ended. So I was kind of like in junkie mode, like, oh my God, I got to do something. And I got the crazy idea of starting a flag football league.
Kooky, totally off the wall.
And for probation, as you know, I'm sure that's really crazy talk when you bring it up to certain officials and stuff, because their automatic reaction is these kids are
going
to get along.
Can't do anything physical.
Can't do. These kids will be fighting every day,
right? And on some level, that's true. There will be some of that.
There will, but you know, just as a side note, if we're going to talk about that.
Sure.
This is the fifth season we're doing the Affirmative Flag Football League, and I'm proud to always put on the table that I haven't had one fight on the field.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's really awesome.
It's never happened.
Yeah. I mean, because I was imagining, when I was working with these kids, and it was about 10 years ago now, but they were mostly incarcerated for gang-related crimes, and most of these kids were just tagging, you know, like...
Right.
Tag in their neighborhood, they got caught for that, or they were delivering something for someone else. Like, a lot of them were really young. And one of the things I remember really trying to talk to them about was, what does tagging get you? Like, what's the point? And all they could say was respect. But then when I asked, in what form was that delivered? Like, nobody really had an answer. It was kind of like they were living their lives on this template of gang-related behavior, and in the way a lot of us live our lives on a template. You know, like, we graduate at 18, we go to college, we get married, we have kids, and we don't really think about what we're supposed to do or what our options are. And I found out that a lot of those kids were just, they weren't thinking about it. They were just following in the footsteps of the people that they grew up being taken care by, their dads or their older uncles and brothers.
Yeah, who are all in gangs as well, probably.
Right.
You know? It's a big sociological issue out here. I didn't really grow up around that element, so to speak. My deal really was, when I got involved in it, I think what I identified with these kids so much is that they didn't seem to have a voice. No one seemed to pay attention to them.
Right.
And I really felt, you know, not getting too deep into that, but I really felt that in a lot of ways, because I felt when I was growing up, I definitely was never heard.
Mm.
So,
even with that smooth, creamy voice,
the voice wasn't always.
Oh, so it was during the years when it was cracking.
Yeah, cracking, a little high pitch.
I'm Rob.
A little high pitch there, a lot.
So tell me more about this. So this is where you started writing, I'm guessing.
Well, I use a writing component in affirmative athletics.
No, I mean you.
Oh,
your personal journey with expression.
Yeah.
I want to know how you learned how you found your expression now that you're moved to help other kids find theirs.
Well, absolutely. I think the cool thing about writing poetry is, well, if we got to break it down to bare bones, I got turned on to hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Black don't crack, so I'm a lot older than most people think. So
I know, I hate you for that.
I think when I got introduced to hip hop and rap, it really gave me a way to say, oh, you know, like, I didn't know you could come out with your feelings that way. I didn't know you could express yourself that way. So a lot of my early stuff, really, all my early poetry was really penned in rap form.
And who in your life, you know, influenced you to do this? Was it simply your records that you were listening to?
Absolutely.
Or was there anyone present in your life that you could read your poetry to or share it with?
Well, I had my cousins. My cousin Genevieve, Michelle's like my older sister. She's always been super supportive of all my creative endeavors. So, you know, whenever I'd be rolling with her, you know, it would always be like she'd see me like writing like a story, or she'd flip through my poetry book. And
Dear Diary.
I whenever I think about where I'm at today, it always usually starts with her.
That's amazing. And the core of it is that you were able to connect to yourself and give yourself expression of some kind, and someone somewhere validated it, took it in. And that's really, really powerful. It's such a simple thing and really, really powerful. And you've now created Affirmative Athletics to give these kids a place to do the same kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of wrapped up all into everything. Like, you know, when I promote it a little bit, or when I talk about it to people, most people get the idea like it's just about games, and it's so much more than that. It's teaching values. It's affirming them positively. Every week we do a newsletter with stats, scores, and highlights.
That's fantastic.
So that the kids get their, you know, their voices.
That's great.
Heard, and their names in the newsletter. I mean, it ends up being like a whole journey for them as
well. Well, what you're doing is, and I'll just use gang culture as like an example for anywhere that these kids could have come from. But what you're doing is you're replacing the template and the structure of where they came from with a new template and a new structure that they can plug themselves into.
Right.
They can aim for these stats to get respect. They can aim for, you know, whatever it is. I love this idea. I think it's, I mean, having grown up an athlete, I think most of my learning and growing was from learning how to play on a team and be a team player. And within the boundaries of good sportsmanship and the game, the rules of the game, how do you still go out there and just blow it out and like give your best and attack and compete and win, but do it within the boundaries of the rules of the game?
Right, right, right. And that's, I think, why it's so effective with these cats I work with, because at the end of the day, it's always about the game. So it doesn't matter if like this cat is from some different hood or a different crew or whatever, you know, at the end of the day, it's about, I don't want this kid beating me on a five and out.
Right.
I want to go route, you know?
Right, right.
Or, you know, we're working together to make sure we get to the championship game.
Right.
So preaching dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, which is our four key words, I like to say.
Right.
You know,
your 10 A's.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's had a remarkable impact, not just on the kids, but on the camps that I've worked at as well. You know, these facilities that these kids are housed, they don't have, Kathy, they don't have anything. They don't give these kids even counseling.
Right, right.
You know?
They're lucky to get those things. They're lucky if some university sends over interns and works with them once a week or something like that, because the funding is horrible.
Yeah.
The funding is just horrible, and there's overcrowding, and they just can't give every kid the kind of attention they really need to be effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to take a break. We're here with Rob Thaluzma with the creamy voice. Come back for more of him. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist and coming out specialist Kathy DeBono is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to kathyisin.com.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Lucky Dog Leather jewelry collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner, Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist, Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to KathyIsIn.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
And the mic is on. Hello. Welcome back, everybody.
Not looking at your producer as she gives you the thumbs up.
Good thing I belched before you turned it up.
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding this time. Okay, guys, we're here with Rob Thaluzma. He's a good friend of ours. He's an actor, and you may have recognized his voice in that Lucky Dog commercial.
Yes.
If not, pay attention. You'll hear it again next time. Rob has a new program called Affirmative Athletics, where he is working with incarcerated kids. And what are the four 10 A's of that program?
Dignity, integrity, respect, and honor.
I love that. I love that. Tell us real quick, what is the structure of the program? And then I want to talk about you.
Cool. Okay, so I do two main leagues every year for the program. That's how we've started it out. So I do a flag football program in the spring, and then I do a basketball program in the fall, and they roughly run about 3 months. Journey is really important to me. So consistency, knowing that the kids can have something to plan and look forward to, and then execute game day, and then review with newsletters every week.
That's great. That's great. So you hire coaches and...
Well, we're expanding the program into coaches, but actually being commissioner of the league, I've also been kind of like the head coach. Like I know I ref games, but you know, halftime I'll give the kids some advice on what to do or what I see.
Yeah. So more funding for you would be great because then you could bring more trained adults on board to be influences on these kids.
Absolutely. Money always helps.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to help or they're interested in it's affirmativeathletics.org.
Yes, it is.
And I noticed in your, I don't know, you wrote an email, something, you were calling it AA.
Yeah, that's the short.
That's the short of it.
That's the nickname for
it. I like that. You can't really call it AA because that's taken.
Right, right. Yeah, everyone mixes that up. They're like, oh my God, Rob, I'm sorry. Have you been drinking, Rob? It's like, no.
It's a different AA. Yeah. So you were talking about how you were growing up and you learned expression through writing and you weren't heard a lot. Why weren't you heard a lot? What's the core of that? Where does that come from?
Wow.
You didn't know you were going to be therapized.
Yeah, yeah. I have two old school Haitian parents. Love them to death. But I definitely come from a culture where children are to be seen and not heard.
Mm. Are they from Haiti or are they?
Oh, yeah.
So they're first generation American.
I am first generation.
You're first generation. Right. So they immigrated here.
Yes.
Okay.
Are
they Roman Catholic?
They're Haitian Catholic.
They're Haitian
Catholic. And my joke is that's a whole different level of Catholic that you could ever possibly imagine.
Really? More Catholic than Roman Catholic?
Wow.
My
mom, my dad definitely is, he's definitely a more free-minded kind of guy. So I wasn't beat with religion like I was with, not like with my mom.
Mm.
My mom was serious, won't talk to you until she talks to God first in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
So no wonder you felt unheard. Your mom wouldn't even acknowledge you until she acknowledged her religion first.
Yeah.
So that's a huge template in her head for what you're supposed to fit into.
Right.
Did you find it hard to fit into the template of the things that your mom expected of you?
Yeah. I've always been, out the womb, I've always been like, hey. And it's always, my mom's always been like, no.
Let's do a puppet show.
Yeah, yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Were you ever incarcerated, Rob?
No. Too afraid of mom.
Mm-hmm.
Too afraid of my aunt, my dad's sister,
mm-hmm.
Who is 82 as of this year. 4'8" of her would whoop my butt.
Did you get spanked? Did you get?
Oh yeah, I got beat.
You got beat.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I come from the old school.
Right.
So,
right. And you know, when we were kids, I'm assuming we're kind of sort of the same age, mm-hmm. but when we were kids, getting a beating like that, I mean, unless there was, I don't know what you went through, but unless there was like drawn blood and swollen parts, our parents thought that was how you took care of that kid.
Absolutely.
You let them know when they were doing something wrong. I mean, my mom used to have a thing where, like, if I was crying or running around doing something, she would say, "Stop before I make your nose bleed." And she meant it. She meant it. And she would come over with the back of her hand and just flick it into my face and my nose would bleed. But today, that would horrify her to think about it.
Yeah,
and at
right.
the time, she was like, 25 years old and she didn't know any better because that's how she was raised. So they think they're doing what's best for us. And in this case, I think you're attributing your fear of that to not being incarcerated.
I never ever would ever want the wrath of my mom.
Yeah.
Brought down on me. Just wouldn't. No.
How did
happen.
You choose to help incarcerated kids? Why that population?
I think the first time I did my first poetry class, I didn't know what I was doing. And to have the young cats, I don't know if gravitate towards me is the word, but I mean, just actually having an adult taking them seriously on the things that they were going through, actually listening, actually wanting to listen, was a big deal. And it touched me so much for the simple fact that I guess I kept saying to myself, my first year teaching poetry, Kathy, was just like, wow, I wish I had this when I was growing
right,
up.
Right, right. That's a great motivator.
You know?
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody, besides my cousins, of course, that really, took me seriously or took my writing seriously. And
it makes such a tremendous difference on a kid when there's an adult paying attention and just having an affirm, like the perfect word that you're using in the name of your program, having an affirming reaction to what they're doing.
Everybody needs mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I still need mentors now. You know, I'm always
sure
reminding myself.
Well, call me anytime.
Don't make promises you can't keep, baby. But you know, we all need people that can show us certain paths or open certain doors, or you know, or just to say like, hey, I honor you.
Right. Or you know, they're sitting there with a crayon drawing circle after circle, and an adult comes over and, wow, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Just show an interest. That's such a huge, powerful moment on that kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what you're doing is amazing.
Thanks, Kathy. I mean, I'm proud to say I've had about at least a good 350 kids now pass through the program.
Wow.
Over the years.
How many years have you been doing this?
I've been doing it since 05.
Why am I only hearing about it now?
Because when I talk, you just don't listen to me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my no.
God. Kidding. Kidding. Yeah, but, and it's been one of the most rewarding things.
Yeah.
So you, earlier, we touched on your other project that led into Affirmative Athletics, Street Poets. And I know that when I met you, I met Rob in an acting class. And we were paired up together, and it was like fate that we had to do a scene together. And it was really amazing to work with you. I have to say, like, I remember when we did that scene, we found some pretty deep stuff in there. And yeah. And we sat around and talked, because that was kind of part of this particular class, is that we had to spend time really getting to know each other. And I got to know that Rob was a writer, and that he performed poetry. And one day during class, Lee, our teacher, invited him to come up and share one of his poems, and like everybody was crying at the end of it. And I was like, this is very interesting, like to
he
see
he manipulated you with that voice.
He did, but he manipulated my emotions. He didn't manipulate, he just shared, and it touched me. And it was to see, because Rob presents himself, he's such a pulled together, very, you know, I wouldn't say
handsome devil,
hyper masculine, but you're a very, like, you're a man's man, and he's this ultra sensitive softy.
Well, all you have to do is talk to him, look him in the eye when you talk to him, and you can see that he's tapped into his soul.
Certainly.
I mean,
but in his writing,
you're connected to yourself in a nice,
certainly,
healthy, gentle way.
Well,
I like
you.
It. Yeah.
Thank you.
But in his writing, even more so. And that I'm interested in, like, you know, you talked about how you stumbled upon that, but what has, you know, that project led into Affirmative Athletics. So what did you do in that project?
Well, as I said before, like, I create the newsletter, you know,
right.
I interview the kids and everything. But I realized that the newsletter, through my poetry, was also a tool. Like, I could use this newsletter to give these kids these voices as well. So the newsletter ends up being not just stat scores and highlights, but it gives these kids a chance to even put their poetry into it. So I always do like a like, you know, player of the week's, you know, words of wisdom.
That's great.
It just ends up being more than just like, you know, this Xerox piece of paper. It becomes,
right,
you know, a vehicle for them to get their voices out there and share as well.
Do you have, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, but do you have any of your poetry within you that you can do for us right now?
Wow, put him on the spot.
Putting me
ready,
on the spot.
Ready, go.
And I wish I could say I do, but I don't.
I understand that. Sometimes, you know, people whip that stuff out.
Yeah, I know.
Other times they want to be prepared, have it on the paper, and I get it.
Poetry is really, you know, for me anyway, it's real personal.
Right.
So
sure,
you definitely want to be in the mind state.
Not like there once was a man from Nantucket.
Right.
No, his stuff isn't like that at all.
It's not like that? No.
So
do you still go out and perform?
I do once in a while. I haven't done in a few months for the simple fact that, you know, I've been preparing for the Affirmative Flag Football League. And
got it.
Things of that nature. But, Every chance I get to spit, it's always it's fun. It's always good. It's always good to share. I believe that's what poetry is meant to be. You know?
What do your Haitian parents feel about your affirmative action program now?
My dad thinks it's great. My mom does too, but doesn't kind of get it.
I'm not believing you. Something about the way you said it.
Kind of, sort of. How about we say just kind of, sort of.
I'm really curious, because how could you do anything more altruistic than what you're doing? What is your mom's concern?
She's old school, Kathy, so I'm not a doctor or lawyer or, you know.
What it lacks in terms of, you know, creating a socioeconomic status for you.
Absolutely. I don't mean to put Haitian dirty laundry on the table, but definitely how people perceive you. You know, you're right. Supposed to be, super surgeon,
revered in society.
Right. Right.
This is where I get frustrated, because I'll sometimes forget that people think like that. You know, when you were like, well, my mom, not so much. I'm like, what could she possibly not find like super proud in her son about doing this with kids? And I'm sure she's proud of
right,
you.
Right.
But it's the fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of you not having a 401k,
yes,
or a health plan, or what are you going to do when you're old, and you're who's
right,
going to take care of you, and all of that stuff.
All
and
that.
And that's the template of how you build a successful life. But I don't buy into it. That's why I don't have anything. But maybe I should buy into it a little bit more.
So we're both rowing in the same boat, you know.
Well, I think also a lot of people don't recognize the validity of creativity bringing a change in a person.
Right.
That creative outlet is a way to bring people to a better place in their life, and to bring, you know, to give them a voice.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I feel like it's very interesting that, you know, you are serving this particular, you know, faction of people, and their overall, you know, experience was that they were not creatively encouraged, meaning there wasn't an outlet for them in that way. And that's really interesting to me, that, you know, why is that? Is that a consequence of a macho culture? Is it a consequence of, what is that? I mean, why? I'm curious.
Being creative doesn't fit into the template of becoming a doctor or a lawyer. Or being creative when you have that mindset. Being creative seems like a waste of time. Like, it's willy-nilly. It's you're being, you know.
But I think we need to talk about what creative means, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Creative is like giving birth. It could be anything. You could be a doctor and be creative,
right? Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know exactly where or when being creative became such a bad thing.
Right.
Or had such a bad stigma. You know, I think being creative leads to anything, you know. Being creative can make you do a cool flag football league in detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, creating a piece of art that actually speaks to everybody and maybe gets people talking.
Mm-hmm. I think the key to be, you cannot be creative without connecting the communication source of your cognitive brain to your emotional center.
Ooh.
Your brain to your soul, like whatever verbiage you want to use. Yeah. Your mind and your soul, like we're body, mind, and soul. This is what another thing I love about what you're doing is you incorporate all three of those in a balanced way, and you acknowledge the emotional or the soul part of that kid. It's not just their body and their mind. They go to school and play sports. It's also the whole soul part that you're including when you have them be creative. You're saying, now there's you with a capital Y. That's
yeah.
just you, the unique you, the inside you. And that's just as important to cultivate and have it become a part of your total whole.
And novel idea, you know, you feel good about yourself. You want to extend that, you know, you want to, it becomes so much of you that you have to release it. So you want to extend good vibes
right.
around. And that's one of the things that I promote about affirmative athletics, that it's a culture changer as well. You know, whereas these probation camps are so oppressive. They're so, you know, detail oriented as far as, okay, we got to get these kids here at this time. We got to get them showered and that kind of thing. It actually gives the staff a good opportunity to see these kids at their best selves and get to know them in a whole different way.
Right.
And that way the circle gets bigger and stronger.
Right.
You know?
And isn't it part of a kid's job or a preteen's job to to whatever structure a parent or a teacher or, you know, a people working in these incarcerated camps, it's a kid's job to try to push past those boundaries.
Yeah.
It's their job to try to run rampant all over the place. And it's our job as the adults to help encourage them to stay within the bounds of the structure so they learn how to do that themselves.
Absolutely.
So it's a really cool dichotomy that you have there. You have this completely almost creativeless, soulless structure of these camps, and then you come in and you give them this other structure that includes their full self.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. If you want to hear more about Rob and his project, it's affirmativeathletics.org. You can also go there to find out how you can help improve this program or supply more resources to this program. And we will be right back.
Don't touch that browser. Kathy, we'll be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist and coming out specialist Kathy DeBono is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to kathyisin.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
We're back. How you doing, y'all? I like to say y'all at least once an hour.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So on the way over here, Jill was telling me a story about getting cut off in traffic, and, you know, Jill can get a little fiery about some things.
You know what?
She got cut off by, what was it, a Mercedes, a Lexus, what was it?
It was a BMW.
Well,
no, here's the thing. Okay, in LA, traffic is awful, and there's particular spots in the city that are notoriously awful and bad. One of them is going up Laurel Canyon. Now, when you're going up Laurel Canyon from the valley side, there are two lanes. Up at the top, everyone knows you can only make a right-hand turn onto Mulholland. So basically, the nice people start getting in line on the left-hand lane.
To continue forward.
Knowing that this is the only lane where they can go straight. Whereas the jerks fly past everyone who's waiting in line and then at the last minute cut back in.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't let those people cut in. I stay right on the bumper of the car in front of me, and I flip them off when they try to cut. Because I'm like, you know what? Wait your turn, jerk. I have been sitting in this line for 15 minutes.
Can I encourage you not to flip your tiny little middle finger at people here in LA? Because a lot of people have guns and road rage.
No, I dare them.
No, don't do that.
Okay, I don't dare them. But my point is, what I noticed, and as it's been scientifically proven today, is that most of those people who cut in line have nice cars.
Did you go look up this study, or did you just stumble upon it?
It stumbled. It came in my Facebook feed.
I just see you furiously tapping away into Google. Do rich people suck?
No. No, I read it on Jezebel, which I always talk about Jezebel. I love Jezebel. But it then linked to an actual science study from Science Daily, which said, the study says... rich people more likely to lie and cheat. That was the title of the study. And what they found
This was an actual study by a university or something.
Yes, it was an actual study at Berkeley, but they found that
it wasn't
people,
like two guys outside of a 7-Eleven judging the people by their cars and
No.
Those guys were asses.
No, it was an actual study. And they found that people who drive nice cars, who then, that usually means that they're in the higher socioeconomic status, are more likely to cut people off in traffic and almost run over pedestrians. It's been proven.
Well, I'm going to say, in my experience, and I never like to stereotype anybody, and I like to stay open and all of that, but I will say, in my own experience, whenever I seem to be getting cut off or someone seems to be doing something jerky like that, like where they're just being an ass and they're just taking advantage, it seems to be a Mercedes. Like, you know, you said a BMW, there's other cars that indicate someone has the wealth to spend on a nice car, but for some reason, particularly Mercedes, are driven by these, not always, okay, I know there's people out there in their Mercedes going, hey, you're, shut up. But, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of lovely people who drive Mercedes, but I'm saying, almost all the time, when someone's doing something really, really jerky or entitled, and I look at their car, it's a Mercedes. I want someone to do a study on that.
Okay, well, I don't know that I agree about the Mercedes, but I've noticed that it's usually someone in a nice car, and I think they have this entitlement issue. Yeah.
Well, we live in a country that breeds that. Yeah. In the higher socioeconomic status you've achieved, the more rewards you are given. It's like an unconscious, I mean, it's conscious and an unconscious message to everybody that the more money you have, the more you deserve for free.
Yeah.
Like healthcare. The more money you make, the cheaper your healthcare is.
Well, and the less taxes you pay.
The less taxes you pay, the more money you make. You don't wait in line for the table at the restaurant. The more money you make, you get all of these perks. Now that you can afford to pay for all these things, you don't have to.
And I have to admit, I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to socioeconomic class because, you know, I feel like you know, kids that are born into privilege have all of these advantages over middle class and you know, lower class kids, that they have all these things handed to them, and then their life is much easier paved. So I know that I have a chip on my shoulder about it, but it's been proven.
Their life is more easily paved in other ways.
In other ways. Yeah, no. I don't mean, and that's not to say that they don't have hardships. I'm just saying that, like, in this town especially, you know, I've noticed, you know, when I would go to acting class and I would see all these, you know, actors and actresses driving their really nice cars and they don't work day jobs. And I'm like, well, how nice for you that mommy and daddy pay your rent and bought you a car so that you can focus on being an actor. Whereas I have to go hustle and make coffee for people, you know, and I know that that's definitely added to this thing that I have. But as I found out, you know, they've actually proven that these people,
what they aren't learning along the way is how to tolerate frustration, how to push through adversity, how to work really hard when the chips are stacked against you. They don't have any practice doing that.
It says upper class individuals often acted unethically 3 to 4 times more often than lower class individuals.
Yeah, they follow rules on paper, not rules of the heart.
Right. Well, here's one last stat, and Kathy doesn't like when I read stats, but I think this is interesting.
Numbers in general make me nervous.
It says 4 lab tests that included undergraduates at Berkeley and national outline samples of adults revealed those who considered themselves upper class had greater tendencies to make unethical decisions, unrightfully stealing something, lying in a negotiation, cheating at a game, endorsing unethical behavior at work, stealing, bribing, overcharging.
These are things that are more sociopathic, meaning it's getting your needs met at any cost of others.
Right. Yeah. And they felt that they were entitled to these things.
They grow up being taught that they are.
Right.
You know, don't go work. I'm going to give you this car. I'm going to give you this much money. Go build your dream. And you know what? That's a really wonderful position to be in, but the catch 22 of that is they don't learn how to work towards something when the chips are stacked against them. And someday you're going to have to know how to do that.
Yeah, no, certainly. And like I said, there brings up a whole nother issue. But like when you talk about crime, people think that people of lower economic status commit these crimes. They commit them out of need. People who are rich commit them out of entitlement and power.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
And there's a complete different value system.
Well, there's that
there.
Whole idea like of people who they live by this and they teach their kids this, that if you follow the rules on paper, you're doing everything right and you're a good person and that's what you're supposed to do. And so people start to use the rules on paper to find loopholes to screw each other and get away with things. And they just throw ethics out the window because ethics doesn't make you money. I mean, that's, I think, what we teach people here in the United States. Ethics don't make you money. We got to go, you guys. Come back next Tuesday. We're going to talk about gay adoption. Our friends Amy and Annie want to adopt a baby, and we did an interview with them. It's going to be on next Tuesday. What's wrong, honey? You look confused.
Nothing. I'm fine.
Okay. they'll be on next Tuesday. So check us out at Tuesday at noon. Thank you for being here. And go to affirmativeathletics.org to find out more about Rob and his program.
Thank you very much.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
That's a wrap.
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Kathy is in, and she's ready to see you now.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Chat with Natalie. Getting to Know Yourself is a hit radio show to help you understand your existence and purpose here on Mother Earth. During the show, Natalie's passionate delivery and spot-on guidance will empower you to realize that you are absolutely perfect. Natalie and her special guests will help you raise your vibration, tap into your innate wisdom, and provide unprecedented solutions to whatever you're facing. Whether it be energy healing, holistic health, spirituality, on-air readings, and energy attunements, your life will be forever changed for the good. Join Natalie and her guests each week as together you tap into the wisdom of the Akashic Records and channel information from her Council of Isis and other ascended masters. Tune in every Friday at noon Pacific time for Chat with Natalie, Getting to Know Yourself on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit HealingIsis.com for a complete show schedule and to book a session with Natalie.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.